Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer. To my left, if you're watching on Roku, is Nick Jacobs. And I know you all are, right?
Like, I hope you're not, because then you might be driving off the road.
All right. Well, we're big on the Roku, though. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. We're here to talk some Chiefs football. For those of you who are new to the Chiefs podcast, if you just happen to stumble on like episode 60 here.
Welcome.
Yeah. We talk Chiefs on this podcast, and you've joined us at an awkward time because really all we have to talk about this week or the main focus is going to be rookie mini camp. If this is your introduction to Chiefs football, then this is going to be a weird introduction. Megan Strickland will be producing this sucker later and getting it posted for you guys. Thanks, as always, to Megan for her effort. Let's get weird, Nick Jacobs.
That's no way. I don't want to start off any sentence with that whenever it involves you. I'm just being honest.
Too late. All right. So, as I mentioned, hey, there are some rookies that made it to town. Many of them, I'm assuming, to Kansas City for the first time. First of all, what would you recommend they do this week while they're in town, other than practice?
For most of them that are tryouts, figure out a way to get a job. That would be the biggest focal point. So,
At Starbucks or
no, out on the football field while they're here.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, they can they'll probably fly out Monday evening and start anew. Try to find a new opportunity.
If that's the case, then they are probably upset there's no longer a team in San Diego. Because if I was going to try out anywhere and get a free trip to someplace, it would probably be San Diego.
Yeah, they would certainly be upset about that there, Todd.
All right. Clearly, Nick doesn't share my affinity for beaches and wonderful.
I've never seen the
climate
ocean
in San Diego.
I've never seen the ocean or
beach. Oh, that's right.
Beach,
you don't. You're not big on the whole flying thing.
Yeah, no.
I'm guessing the news this week of like the plane that slid off the runway
help anything
in Tampa and the giant fireball in Russia have not inspired you to
the fireball one concerned me because that's one of my biggest fears.
So, all right. So I guess I'll I had bought us tickets. We were going to go do a remote next week. I guess I'll just have to see if I can get those refunded.
Yeah. Probably should have consulted with me first on that one.
That's my bad.
That is your bad.
I'll look into getting a tour bus.
Okay. Well, if you can get that, or maybe, depending where the train goes. I haven't seen where the train goes. I'm aware it goes to Chicago.
Let's ask Sam Hartle.
We can definitely ask Sam.
Sam will know. Sam will have all the answers for us. I think it goes everywhere. I just think it can be tricky to get some places.
I imagine so.
We'll pull out an Amtrak map later, and we'll map out our strategy.
I will be waited with bated breath on that.
That's right. I don't know if Sam's aware yet, but we're going to do an Amtrak tour of all of the training camps in July. Just kidding. We're not going to do that. I don't think our budget will allow it.
Yeah.
But you know what our budget will allow us to do? Talk about the. Let's start off talking about the first three picks, because I think, especially in this draft, and we're not for the purposes of this podcast, we're not going to talk about what they did with the first round pick, Frank Clark, all that. We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. You can go hit the archives if you want that discussion. But let's talk a little bit more in depth about Mecole Hardman, who was a second round pick, wide receiver out of Georgia, safety Juan Thornhill from Virginia, and defensive tackle Colin Saunders out of Western Illinois, because there was a pretty big difference. I think those are clearly the three big gets from this draft. Just early impressions. I mean, first of all, what can you take away from this 3-day rookie minicamp?
Yeah, I think that's kind of from the years that I went there on a yearly basis in that regard. I was there every single day, and they normally held it on a Mother's Day weekend, so that was always awkward.
Nobody likes to say hi to their mom.
It's just a unique opportunity where you had players go there on Mother's Day weekend, and then the coaching staff, they have to juggle that as well, I'm sure, and the entire Chiefs staff. So that was a unique aspect to have to juggle. But the thing is. With these guys, you obviously see why certain, talk about when certain players are drafted. You see them stand out, or you see a certain undrafted free agent maybe stand out, or maybe a tryout. But for the most part, you don't get a very good barometer for what these draft picks or maybe the undrafted hopefuls are going to be until you see them go up against the veterans on the roster, and maybe a Pat Mahomes throwing the ball, or you have a corner has been in the league 4 or 5 years, like a Breland covering Mecole Hardman. So I remember Conley looked like a standout in his rookie camp and looked really good, and then he did well against Sean Smith, and then there were some other times when he went up against some other guys whenever the pads came on in training camp, and he disappeared a lot. Yeah. So, I mean,
now he's disappeared to Jacksonville.
Yes, he did. Wonder if he took the train to get down there.
Hope he went on the plane.
And he's actually, if I remember correctly, I think he's getting married next week.
Oh, May the 4th be with him.
That would have been funny if they'd actually had it on the 4th. I'm kind of surprised he didn't, with as big of a Star Wars fan as he is.
Yeah, I guess, well, maybe he was going to their rookie training camp. Rookie mini camp.
I doubt it. But yeah, no, that's the thing. I personally, obviously they're not wearing pads and they're not wearing any of the stuff that you expect in terms of training camp. So you don't really get the ideal barometer that you want, or what type of football shape that they're in, or how they respond when they get hit, or how they catch the football whenever they have pads and helmet on and all that type of stuff. And it's not as physical. So, you can see who's fast, but other than that, it's not. I don't take a lot from the rookie camps anymore like I did the first year I was there.
Yeah. One thing, obviously a lot of most of the veterans aren't here. I guess none of the veterans really are here.
Technically, you have some one-year guys that are on the roster.
Yeah, but it's not like you've got Mahomes out there throwing the passes to all the guys.
You got Litton time, though.
You know, or anything like that. I mean, so you don't, you know, you do have some of the Raymond Davidsons and guys like that, that are spent most of the last year in the practice squad also participate in this. But one thing is some of the guys do get to kind of talk, about what it's like to come into the league, what their expectations are, and, have that starstruck moment. And Mecole Hardman Jr. Had that a little bit when he was talking about what it's going to be like now that he is going to be, catching passes from the MVP.
Well, I mean, the MVP, I think NRC would be happy to be with him. And he's a great quarterback. And hopefully, we can get a good some good chemistry together. And hopefully he can – he can throw me open, throw me some routes, and we can just keep that thing going. So, yeah, I'm happy to be with him. Hopefully I can meet him soon and get with him and get things going. Did you him at all? I talked to him briefly a little bit when I got drafted, and I think he excited as well. So he's ready to get the ball moving.
That was Mecole Hardman Jr. talking about Patrick Mahomes, the Patrick Mahomes, QB1 of the Chiefs. I don't know if you're aware.
Yes, I am aware. I thought you were going to keep talking. That's my bad.
I was, and then I decided to make it awkward.
Mission unaccomplished there, Don.
All right. Give me the trophy. But anyway, I still think in some respects, you've still got to look at Mecole as the Tyreek Hill insurance. Here's something interesting. The letter that Tyreek sent to the NFL came out this week. If you had... Do you think Tyreek will be on the roster next year, or do you think that that Mecole Hardman is going to have to be ready to go from day one?
I honestly don't know because I personally believe there's a lot more to the Tyreek Hill story than I think anybody knows about, and I don't think any of us know 100% what is or isn't going on. And until the facts are out there, I'm just gonna hold my opinion on most of it and wait and see how things evolve. Now, I do think they did a good job giving themselves insurance in case something does force them to go in a different direction.
At the very least, there's a chance that Tyreek may not be available for the first few games of the season, right?
Yeah, there's certainly... I expect if he is on the team that he will get suspended at some point, and there will be something just for how much attention it got in general and, just that whole situation. So, we'll see what ends up happening through what the NFL decides and what ends up coming out fact-wise.
And then one guy who was not brought in for insurance, I think Juan Thornhill, who was the other second-round pick, was brought in to start. If I was betting on any of these rookies to start week one in Jacksonville, I would be plunking down. I would be given the shortest odds to safety Juan Thornhill out of Virginia. I think he's shown he's got the range, the athleticism. As long as he picks things up during training camp, he's the guy that I expect to be have the best chance of being paired with Tyrann Mathieu in on the back end of that secondary to start the season.
So if I'm doing this on a scale of Kentucky Derby horses, where would you bet Thornhill in that regard?
Well, I mean, the favorite yesterday, Maximum Security, went off at 9-2. And then, of course, dominated the race. Now what has me scared is that week one, he's going to get ejected for targeting. And he will be disqualified from the opener against Jacksonville.
Wow, you went to a unique place there. Okay. I enjoyed that horse's name being Maximum Security. Now I want to get a pet sometime and name him Minimum Security.
Yeah.
And they're like, actually like a pit bull.
Get a gerbil and ride it?
No. That is not it. But going back to Thornhill now, since you took it to a unique place. With Thornhill, I mean,
I want obviously, that picture.
Anyways.
I got a Photoshop project now.
I'm sure it'll be very very well done by you.
It might be a guinea pig, just so you know.
I'm sure it'll be well done by you. I wish you the best in your future endeavor on that. So, moving on. In terms of Thornhill, with him, I was oh man, Todd's losing it.
It's because I know what that means.
you can't see.
I know what you really meant by that, Nick.
Okay. So, anyways, while Todd loses it a little bit more, have some more of your Diet Dr. Pepper over there, Todd. It'll be okay, buddy.
Okay.
All right. So while Todd recomposes himself, what I was gonna say about Thornhill is you saw the other day when you watched the Chiefs highlights on Twitter and when they threw that out there. His ball hawking skills and the way he tracked and drove on the football and was able to make that interception. Now without being there to be able to physically see it on the field, I don't know in terms of if the receiver didn't run the route at a certain level and Litton's expecting it. But either way, Thornhill saw it and Thornhill drove on it and made a nice diving catch on that. So that was impressive to see. And yeah, I do think that he was the one guy that I felt they really needed to get in the draft to be able to make the difference that people envision and want for this roster.
Well, and look, I mean, he's going to be competing with Jordan Lucas, presumably.
Likely, yeah.
You know, and I mean, Armani Watts, I mean, he's probably projects more as Tyrann Mathieu's backup, mm-hmm. but, you know, I mean, they might give him some opportunities to see what he could do together, because obviously I think they prize versatility here. But the telling thing, and we talked about this before, the telling thing about what the Chiefs' plans were when word came out that they had been trying to land Earl Thomas to pair mm-hmm. with Tyrann Mathieu. And if you're looking at the guys on the roster, I think that one Thornhill, I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Fame caliber safety necessarily like Earl Thomas, but I think he's got the athletic profile and the skill set that most closely resembles what Earl Thomas brings to the table when you look at the other safeties on the Chiefs roster right now.
I cannot disagree with you, Todd.
Fantastic. Let's hear from Juan Thornhill too, because I think he's very excited for the opportunity to play alongside Tyrann Mathieu, much like you would be if you got the opportunity, Nick.
I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but honestly, when I was growing up, I used to watch his, like, before every college game, I used to watch his college film because I just love how he plays. He always keeps that energy going, and like, I pride myself just like that. I keep my energy up and try to play well, and I think we'll be a great fit.
So who were you referencing that I should be excited to be paired with?
Tyrann Mathieu.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to turn it into something about you and being a podcast host.
No, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, I feel like I feel the same way, you know, I mean, about like I'm the Tyrann Mathieu of this podcast. I bring energy. You know, I'm sure you watch game film of me and like you go to Roku and watch my highlights.
How did you know what I do with my free time, Todd?
Well, I just assume. I mean, you're done watching draft film, so you got to watch something, right?
Yes, I analyze.
So I assume it's like, you know, you watch like Therese on some, you know, like you know, the Yahoo Sports podcast, you know, film, and then highlights of me to get yourself fired up, right?
How did you know what I do with my free time?
Your mom told me.
Okay. I'm just gonna let that one go, and I apologize to her because she actually listens to this.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I'm sure she's gonna be real appreciative of that. Yeah,
she's gonna be like, I don't like that dog.
He is not invited over for holiday dinner.
I will not be getting him. I will not be knitting him a scarf this year.
And now you're trying to mimic her voice that you've never met before. So.
No, I wasn't trying to mimic her. I've never met her, so I couldn't possibly try to mimic her voice.
I'm wishing you the best to dig out of this hole at this point.
Oh, challenge accepted. I will keep shoveling spoonfuls of dirt out of this hole if you'd like. Or we could move on and talk about Colin Saunders.
I would just recommend moving on at this point.
All right. I feel like
this is me trying to help you.
I hear what you're saying, and I wish you the best in all your future endeavors.
That's perfect. It sounds like a line I use on a regular basis.
I don't know where that came from. But Saunders, look, I if you follow me on Twitter, which at least two of you do probably.
I am not one of them.
Yeah, I know you muted me. But yeah, I mean, I didn't exactly hide my excitement about the Saunders pick. You were as excited on the inside, right?
Yeah, I was excited to see them get an athletic interior defensive lineman. That was something I really wanted for them to have, because I think it really it's like a whole bunch of commemorative plates. It really completed the set at that point of your pass rush. So being able to get him, I mean, and with the athletic ability he has, I think he brings a little bit of the Don Terry Poe aspect that they lost in lateral quickness.
Yeah, and he's a guy. I'm not making this comparison, but I'm going to let him make this comparison, and I'm going to let you guys get excited about who he tries to pattern his game after and why he wears number 99.
One of my biggest inspirations was Aaron Donald, and you know, he was number 99, and he kind of paved the way for shorter defensive linemen, and that's what I am. So you know, I kind of looked up to him, and but now he's about to be eventually a rival or a competitor. So you know, but I definitely, you know, regardless of what happens in anything, you know, he kind of did pave the way for me, and you know, I respect him for that.
Do you think? I mean, look, he's got. You mentioned the lateral quickness. Mm-hmm. We've seen what he can do as an athlete, standing up, doing backflips. I mean, just the incredible agility he has for a man his size.
Yeah.
You gotta, even if you're only getting like 80th percentile or 85th percentile Aaron Donald, you've got to like that as a player you're adding to your roster, right?
Of course, I'd love that if he could turn into that caliber of a player. Of course, you'd love that, especially at the round they got him at, the value that they were. Because I honestly thought he's going to go middle of the second round. That's why I never had him on my mocks, because I was like, I don't know if he's going to go that. I had to make the decision whenever I was doing my mocks. I was like, all right, I think they need a corner. I think they need a receiver. I know they're going to be interested in tight end. And then whenever Sternberger went off the board, I was like, they ain't going to be able to get that now. But they were able to get three of the five goals that I had for their team, and technically they got four of the five that I wanted, because if you include Clark, so I couldn't be happier with what they did in the draft.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's the first three guys.
And then and something I'm kind of curious about over this next couple months is the coaching staff on defense.
Yeah,
they'll be.
Yeah, I get. Well, and that's that. You do bring up a good point. Before we go to break, real quick, one of the things that got talked about, and I wasn't able to go, but hearing from people who were at minicamp this weekend, they talked about how energetic and enthusiastic the coaching staff was. You know, and how, you know, the way that they were working with these players that were there. And look, stark change of pace. That was not. You know, we've talked about it before. That was not exactly Bob Sutton's strength, to be an emotive guy, you know, who was buzzing around the field and getting guys hyped up. But Saunders was particularly impressed with his new position coach, Brendan Daly, who the Chiefs snagged from the Patriots as the new D-line coach. So let's hear from Colin Saunders about Brendan Daly.
Yeah, he's an energetic dude, man. He's very high tempo and high pace. He makes sure the one thing I do like about him, or really love about him, is that he makes sure you know what he wants you to do. That's my biggest, you know, I don't care. I don't respond any negatively or positively, whatever, to any kind of coaching style. My biggest thing is I just want to know exactly how you want me to do something. And he does a really good job, you know, of telling you, hey, I want it exactly this way. I want it exactly that way. So the energy and the exactness, I would say, are my favorite two of his qualities.
I got to be honest, that's good to hear, because I think that fundamentals, technique, attention to detail are some of the things that the Chiefs are going to have to be hammering from now until September 8th when they play Jacksonville. Really, from now until the end of the season, you know, and into the playoffs, you would hope, if the Chiefs can get that far. you know, I mean, especially when you have a new defense like that. So it's good to hear that they're, it sounds like they're starting off on the right foot.
Yeah, and that, with what I wanted to see from this defensive coaching staff, and it's something I'll be watching when I do get the chances to go out there, is what are they like an Eric Bieniemy? Because Bieniemy paid attention to detail, and Bieniemy you could hear from the other side of the field, and you could hear him get into the players' minds and mold them in the way that he saw fit for them to be successful in the NFL. And a lot of the guys that came out of his position group did a phenomenal job, and the offense overall this past year with Bieniemy leading the charge were able to do that. So if there's a way that Steve Spagnuolo, Brendan Daly, Matt House, and Dave Merritt and Sam Madison, if there's a way all those guys can help instill that attention to detail, that attitude, that mentality in the entire defense, and if you have that many coaches doing that, I'm telling you, this defense is going to be night and day from what they were, because they needed at least one Eric Bieniemy on defense, and in all honesty, from the times I was there, they really didn't have that. I mean, Britt Reid tried his best as a D-line coach, but I think this coaching staff is going to – I think it can do wonders for this defense overall, and I think as well that it'll help Britt Reid kind of grow into the coach that I think personally he's capable of being, because I think he's going to be around a lot of really talented, smart minds that help show him that way defensively.
And they've got a couple guys in Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark who are a little bit younger, going to be on that practice field presumably most days once they get into training camp, not sitting out, and are going to be able to be tempo setters,
right,
that can kind of carry that coaching onto the field and maybe bring a little bit more of an edge to that Chiefs defense this year. All right, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other guys that were present at this rookie minicamp.
Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
An officer recognized something while they were out on a call.
And we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
This has been such a hot button issue.
Disaster averted in this case.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
You were part of the team that helped land a rover on Mars.
There is a difference in the morning. Watch us and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
Save KC. Stories of hope.
Individually, none of us have got the resources to combat this, but together we did.
Stories of change.
Statistics do show that we can build strong communities and strong neighborhoods to reduce violence.
Stories you won't see anywhere else, like this one.
There's so much hurt, and these people don't think about that.
Showcasing the people, working together as one to better our community.
There's strength in numbers.
And change lives.
We want them to know they're not alone.
Save KC, only on 41 Action News and KSHB.com.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And, of course, Rashad Fenton and Darwin Thompson, the 6th-round picks, were also in camp. Nick Allegretti, the 7th-round pick, a center/guard, also in camp. And then a bunch of tryout players. First of all, let's go through. Nick, let's hear from Darwin Thompson and what it was like, and then we'll see if how that compares with what it would be like if Nick got to try out for the Chiefs.
Offense coach Andy Reid, you talk about starstruck. When I met Coach Andy Reid on my top 30 visit, I'm like, man, this is a Hall of Fame coach. Like, he on his way. And just to be in his system and to see what he's did with other guys at the running back position, I'm very blessed. Perfect situation.
Nick, that was Darwin Thompson, Utah State running back, talking about getting to meet Andy Reid. Were you starstruck the first time you interviewed Andy Reid?
I mean, it was interesting to be around him and to chat with him and to kind of hear his philosophy on some things whenever he got here that fateful January day. And it was refreshing because the previous regime that had been there, it felt different in a great way. And that's the reason I think they've had a lot of success, is because Andy and the people that he's able to attract here from both players and coaches and the culture and atmosphere that they set there, they're in a great spot in that organization, and it's come a long way from where it was there from that 09 to 2012 era.
Ah, yes, the good old days.
I enjoyed Romeo. Romeo was a smart mind coach, and I enjoyed him, but yeah, Todd Haley and Pioli, they just weren't my cup of tea.
We can talk about those stories in some of the, maybe in June when we've got even less to talk about. That could be a fine podcast.
I mean, maybe.
Let's make a call. See if we can get some of them on to sit down and chat with us.
Yeah, but in terms of Darwin Thompson, I think a thing they emphasized this week, and I did see it on the coach's tape, is I think he's similar to Sproles and like the center, like they're calling it the center of gravity.
Darren Sproles, Olathe legend.
Yes, I know.
I feel like you have to say that.
Yeah, no, it literally says it on his birth certificate.
Yeah.
No, but I know he made the joke this weekend how he's hard to tackle, and whenever I saw footage of him this weekend, that is definitely a strong and stout individual. So I'm curious to see how his speed translates after he's been with McCullough and Bieniemy for a little bit, and where they can get him to. But I mean, it'll be interesting. That running backfield is going to be with him and Carlos Hyde, and then the Williams twins. No,
Williams like triplets now. Damian Williams, and James Williams.
Yeah, actually, good solid point. So yeah, I think it's a crowded backfield,
and I think Xavier Williams is switching to running back. Did I read that wrong?
Yeah, okay. You did. Okay. But I do think that I think this is a really crowded running backfield, and I think the three best guys are going to get the opportunity, maybe one more, and I'm curious to see who wins. That's kind of something that I got marked down that I'm very intrigued by to see whenever the pads come on in August.
I was going to say, I mean, with James Williams in there.
James Williams can realistically make this roster.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a really talented back and receiver.
I was going to say, pass catcher. He's played in some of the. He's already familiar with a lot of the concepts that Andy Reid's offense uses, and so I think he'll be able to hit the ground running in terms of, as long as he can digest, an understanding of the offense. But the routes they're going to ask him to do, the things they're going to ask him to do, aren't going to be unfamiliar to him. So I think he'll be able to hit the ground running. He's got a chance. I mean, this is going to be one of the most interesting position battles to watch during training camp, I think, because ultimately, somebody's probably going to be the odd man out in that group, and it's going to be a really good football player.
Yeah, it'll be one or two guys that'll make another NFL team.
Yeah.
So
Andy would be proud of the way I use really good football player, too, I think. what else stands out to you about the group of guys they brought in, whether it's tryout players, whether it's rookie free agents, because we kind of know about the draft picks. Fenton, they like his skills. He's a guy who's played a lot against some very good competition. They feel like he can be give him some depth and some versatility, play inside, outside. But what else do you like about this group that they've kind of assembled?
From the draft or from?
Well, that they have in rookie minicamp.
Well, for me, some of the undrafted guys, I'm personally really intrigued to see what Mark Fields does versus what Fenton does as the days go by, because I think Fields could be a talented nickel cornerback, maybe slot cornerback down the road. So I'm really excited to see what he can do whenever camp rolls around. And then Gary Johnson, athletically, he's got what you need. And I think he's more of a will linebacker, but I'm curious if they try to use him in a Mike spot. And then
would you say he's just a friend?
I don't know, Todd.
You said he's got what you need.
Yeah, no, I know the road you were going down, and I was trying to ignore it, but you kept pushing it. Well, Cody Thompson, that's another guy from Toledo.
I just thought maybe it's like karaoke music.
So Cody Thompson, two from Toledo. I think before his injury, he would have gotten drafted. And he, from what I see sometimes, the way he runs his routes and his body size, he reminds me a lot of Jordy Nelson.
Highly productive player, like Jordy Nelson was in college, too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, different level of competition.
But. Right. And then, obviously, I was intrigued when I heard Brett Veach's phone conference the other day with John Lovett, how they want to use his at H-back and tight end, and how he said that he had a cast on, and he caught everything one-handed. And I know as a person who had a cast on how tough it is just to operate in general, let alone actually do anything football-related. So that is another high mark that I gave. So there's some undrafted guys that I think have some potential on this roster, and it sounded like from Veach's phone conference that there's probably 4 to 5 guys that got a legitimate shot at making the roster, and we just named most of them. And then there's a couple, Tim Ward down the road, that sounds like he's going to be he's injured and probably won't be able to do anything this year. And then Harris, the linebacker they got from Mid-Tennessee State, sounds like another individual.
Darius Harris, yeah.
So, yeah.
He's an intriguing prospect. I am glad that you did not talk up Rice punter Jack Fox too much.
I'm sure you...
That would have wounded me deeply.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, that would have been implying you want Dustin Colquitt gone.
Yeah, no, that's, I thought that was kind of inferred for the people that listen right. the most.
Just wanted to make sure we were on the same page there. Hey, like I think you kind of hit on the undrafted guys, but I did think, you know, they didn't really the only guy that they used to address the offensive line was Nick Allegretti. And let's hear. I mean, do you think it's his kind of his grit that made him? A guy that they felt like they drafted as opposed to a guy that they felt like they could wait on?
I think he's a versatile player that I know he can play guard, and I saw the athletic ability of his talents to be able to pull and kind of the mentality that he had. And then so whenever I heard him talk, I made sure to pick this bite out because this is an offensive lineman's dream, and our special guest that was here last week, Terrence Paylor, Yahoo Sports.
Shout out.
This would be his type of guy.
All right, let's hear from Nick Allegretti.
I love playing football. I think there's a way you're supposed to play football, where you're supposed to play O-line, physical. You want to put people on the ground. That's just how I was coached, how I was brought up. So I think that's what he sees, and that's what you'll continue to see.
I did want to mention one other guy. Kyle Shermer, smart guy, never played in the greatest offense at Vanderbilt, didn't necessarily have the most weapons around him, but I think he's a guy that could push your boy Chase Litton during training camp.
Now we're getting to a point where it's like you're talking Colquitt to me.
That's right.
Now.
That's for bringing up Jack Fox.
You're the one who brought him up.
That's revisionist history, Nick. All right, we're going to take a break and sort this out here on 4th and 1.
We're here.
Welcome to 41 Action News Today.
When the sun dawns on a new day. When one shift ends and another begins.
Some big changes are heading our way.
We're here for the ones who hit the ground running. The ones whose shifts never end. Because at 4:30 a.m., before the clouds and traffic roll in, we're here to prepare you as your day just begins. 41 Action News Today. Clear, complete coverage. 41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
All right, I listened to the recording. You're right. I'm the one who brought up Jack Fox.
Oh, wow. You actually made a mistake for once?
No. I mean, I'm just saying that yeah, I brought up Jack Fox, but only because telepathically you were communicating it to me.
I was not even remotely close to saying a word about it.
Lies and statistics, son. All right. Hey, I know we're running a little bit short on time. You know, quite frankly, I think we've covered most of what there was to cover from rookie minicamp. But in honor of the people and giving the people what they want, Nick, I think we still need to check the tweets.
Yep, check the tweets time. From Neil, how much better can the defense be as compared to last year? Top 20, top half, top 10?
First year top 10 might be a little bit ambitious, but certainly top. I would be aiming for middle of the pack. Like if they can be top 20, maybe top 16, something like that. I think that would one that would be plenty. I think to believe that the Chiefs have a chance to win. I mean, you also got to remember they got a tough schedule. So some, you know, if you're looking at total yards or yards a lot, things like that, it may not look like they've made tremendous progress. But I think we're going to find out. What I really want to see from this defense more than anything is when you have a situation where you need to get a stop, can this team get a stop and take some of the pressure off the offense, and let them have a few more comfortable games?
All right. Next question is going to be from Henry.
Hi, Henry. Oh, Henry.
Well, hopefully Henry tweets you back and says hi. That'll be fun.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Do you think with all the wide receivers drafted and undrafted will affect the team's choice and maybe moving on from any of the main receivers from last year?
No. I mean, I don't think there's anybody on this roster or anybody here that's going to push anyone off of the roster. I think, like you said, they're being pretty diligent with what they're doing in that respect. And look, I mean, wide receiver is a position where it's tough for guys to come in and make an immediate impact, I think. And so guys like a DeMarcus, guys like DeMarcus and stuff like that are going to have a built-in advantage because they've been in the system for a year, I think.
And then finally from Mike, why does it seem like this regime doesn't value a cornerback one?
Well, I mean, first of all, this is a new defense. So, you know, I mean, I don't know that that they necessarily don't value it. I mean, I think that the one cornerback one that they had, they didn't feel like it was a good locker room fit, based on obviously the, what they did with him. And then I think this year, I think it was a matter of there weren't really any great cornerbacks hit the market. I mean, Ronald Darby was probably the best of the bunch. And you had some other guys like Jason Barrett and stuff like that, but they all had big injury concerns. You know, and I just don't think there was a guy out there that justified the money that they were going to be asking to bring in. I mean, I think it was wise to not overpay, even if you consider that a position in need. But I don't think that that means that they don't care about cornerbacks.
Yeah, I personally, I'll answer this one, and then we'll probably have to wrap. Yeah, thing I was going to say is that I still don't think the position's necessarily set. I think you're going to see what happens after June 1st.
Sure.
And then I think you want to bring in some of the veterans you have, look at how they're picking stuff up and see how things go and reevaluate after the mandatory minicamp's over and then make some decisions there if you need to go make a move or not. So I think there's still plenty of time to evaluate. And as Brett Veach always says, until the game starts in September, I mean, there's always an opportunity to improve.
Well, and there are a lot of teams who have overpaid for cornerbacks and are now up against it from a salary cap perspective. So there may be some opportunities down the line where teams have to get rid of somebody, and it is what it is. You never know. I mean, you got to remember last year they were chasing Bashaud Breeland and added Orlando Scandrick in training camp. And so anything's possible. I mean, I wouldn't rule anything out. So anyway, guys, we will cut it off here, and we will talk to you again next week on 4th and 1. Say goodbye, Nick.
Bye, Todd.
That is not what I said. Come on, you're better.